Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the program, everybody. You're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on Friday, June 9th, 2017. The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313. My name is Jackie Balestra, and I'm sitting in as host today for Joe Terry, and I appreciate you tuning in and putting up with me. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and I can't imagine a better place to do just that. Now, you can learn more about the show on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show, or visit our website at www.thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what it's all about here on the South Bay Show. And while we would normally have a guest co-host, that's not the case this morning. I'm on my own, so we're going to get right to it. Our guests this morning are Mark Lipps and Tamsin Green from the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. Mark Lipps, the president and CEO of the chamber, is a 20-plus year resident of Manhattan Beach. He is a parent, dog, and tortoise owner, homeowner, and husband of Tammy Lipps, chef owner of The Ripe Choice, which is a local catering business. Mark worked for 30 years in the TV industry and was an executive with Fox Broadcasting for 18 years. Now, in addition to his professional life, Mark has been very involved in the community as a graduate of Leadership Manhattan, the Community Police Academy, and Manhattan Beach CERT. He is a member of Manhattan Beach Rotary, was appointed to a city commission, was a neighborhood watch block captain, and has been active in many local volunteer activities. He also has written a popular local newsletter for the last 15 years called Happy Friday Neighbors. Now, Tamsin Green is the former head of PR at Saatchi & Saatchi Advertising in Los Angeles, and she's also worked for advertising agencies Shiat Day and Ogilvy & Mather. Now, with an interest in nonprofits, she has worked in the community with Big Sisters of Los Angeles, Guide Dogs for the Blind, and also headed up a PR for the John Wayne Cancer Institute, working with doctors and children cancer survivors. A resident and fan of the South Bay community for 25 years, she is now the director of marketing for the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. Now, this morning, we're going to meet one of the new chamber staff members and discuss the direction the chamber will take going forward. Tamsin, Mark, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.
All right, so I'm by myself here today, so you're going to have to, you know, roll with me.
Well, I know.
Mark,
what's Joe up to, you said? What's he doing?
I think he's dealing with some outstanding warrant, pesky. I think they nailed him streaking several years ago. Back in
right,
the
70s. Right.
So, I think Wrigley Field or something like that. They grabbed him for streaking. So,
they finally caught up with him. Good. By yourself. And plus, everything you said about Tamsin and I'm not sure if there's anything else left to say.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll
okay.
we'll
all right.
We'll mine for the gems. All right.
Yep.
So, Mark, for people that haven't listened, you've been on the show plenty of times, but for people that haven't listened to it before, how long has it been since you've taken over the reins at the Manhattan Beach Chamber?
February. So what is that? February, March, April, May, June, a little less than 5 months.
A little less than 5 months. And I know, again, we've talked about this before, but give us the backstory. Give us the backstory how you came.
Well, and by the way, and who knows, I may only last 5 months. the backstory is that, you know, I took early retirement from Fox, and that gave me the opportunity. You know, I have a comment that I always make about, you know, we do what we're paid to do, and then at some point in our lives, we get the opportunity to do what we were made to do. And I always have volunteered in this community. I've always been a part of this community doing things. When I took the early retirement, that gave me an opportunity almost full-time go into doing everything from 135-mile kayak in Louisiana to traveling across country with my kids to taking school books to schools in Guatemala to, teaching school. To teaching PS I Love You, a program that's a locally based program, which is an awesome program, and doing a lot with Rotary, getting more involved in our city government, things like that. And so, you know, and then after about 3 or 4 years, and plus my wife has the Right Choice Catering, so I would help her out a little bit and network and, you know, got to know her business a little bit better and market and all of that. And so that was good. And, you know, at one point, I was talking to these, to some of the guys in the chamber, and I was telling them, I said, you know, that when you're looking for this, and I knew they were looking for a CEO, and I said, you really need to get a community guy. I mean, I think in a town like this, where it's all based on community and who you know and having those relationships and all of that, you really need a community guy. That doesn't always necessarily translate into sponsorships, but at least it gets you through the door and, you know, and you can the city council one-on-one, you know, everybody, you can hit the ground running as far as making some noise about your chamber, about the Chamber of Commerce. And also I felt that there need to be more engagement with our members. We have over 400 members. And so one, we need to figure out ways where we can engage them and be relevant and, you know, be a part of this 21st century. I mean, I'd love to change the name of the chamber, you know, because when you mention Chamber of Commerce, you think, you know, once again, like your dad's Buick or something like that.
Right. But, yes.
Right. So, I told him that. And then I went home and I thought, holy cow, I think I'm going to apply for that. You know, and so I went back and said, I'd like to put my hat in there, actually. And, you know, just I'm not in it for salary or, you know, money or anything like that, even though I should be.
well, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, you went through, you took early retirement, you hit all your bucket list items, you know, and
right.
Then after several years of that, you know, you have a lot to offer, and quite frankly, I knew that they were looking for a new CEO, and quite frankly, I thought of you immediately. You know,
well,
I actually may have said things to people. I recall talking to a couple of people because you are so involved in the community. I mean, you and your wife are embedded in Manhattan Beach, and you have been for years, and your kids have went to school here and grew up here, so you know the PTA, you know the sports stuff, you know, you and again, you're block captain, Manhattan Beach shirt, you know, leadership, you know, you've gone through all of this, which makes you an ideal candidate for the Chamber
right.
of Commerce,
well,
as you said.
Yeah, those were there were two positions I had not done in this town. That are available to citizens, you know, or could be available. And that one is I've never been mayor of Manhattan Beach, and I've never been the CEO of the chamber. So now I've knocked that off. Now I just have to get the mayor somehow.
I think you have to get to city council first. You got to get into the city council first. And then does Manhattan Beach have the rotating mayors?
Yeah. That's what we have. You're a mayor for 9.5 months per term. So
first you have to get elected to the city council. And if you don't mess it up too badly, eventually you'll become mayor.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, you'd have to be impeached not to become mayor. So, you know, and then you have that 9.5 months. you know, where you're just running around and gaining about 50 pounds because you're at every little function and gnawing on food and things like that. So, but anyway, you know, what's been great about the chamber is it is what I thought it would be. It's fun. It's exciting. It's kind of falls into my wheelhouse in terms of trying to engage people and trying to put people together and all of that. And so it's still, you know, nothing ever happens fast enough for me because I came from TV, which is, you know, we don't want it good. We want it Thursday. And so therefore it's like, oh, I want all these, I want to do all, you know, I've been here less than 5 months. I want to do all these things. I want to, you just feel like, it's like one chamber CEO told me, she said, Mark, you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other. Just keep moving and keep doing,
Mark,
you know,
Mark,
things like that. So,
you know who you sound like, you know who you sound like. You've only been in
James
office
Comey.
5 months.
Oh.
You've only been in office 5 months and you want to get all this stuff done.
Oh my God. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Huge. It's fantastic.
Oh my God.
It's fantastic. As you were saying, you know, you have years of executive experience in the entertainment industry, but the chamber realm, it's a completely different animal. Be truthful. Did you know what you were getting into?
Not really. I knew kind of. That's why I said it is part of what I thought I was getting into. It's great. You know, it's fun. But, you know, working in nonprofit, lean and mean shop, you know, it's we don't get, you know, unlike, for instance, did you read the article in the Beach Reporter about Redondo? Chamber of Commerce.
Oh yes.
Just about, unless a chamber decides not to get funding from a city because they want to be able to have a PAC, they want to be able to weigh in the political landscape and support a candidate. And you know, most cities you can't do that. And so there are a lot of chambers. I think Long Beach is one where they don't want city money because they are politically active. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, our chamber does not take sides. I mean, if anything, what we should have done, if I'd been CEO at the time, I would have done it, but we will next year for the teachers, you know, for the school board elections, but we should be a forum at least for candidate forum for debates and things like that. We should lead something like that. That's something we can do, but that's not taking a side. That's just being a candidate's forum. But generally everybody gets support from their city, and our support, we get nothing, you know?
Well, you used to,
you know,
you find that
out and all of a sudden you realize how important that support is to these chambers. So it's interesting, you know, like, you look at some of these chambers and look at what they net in their events and things like that, and you go, wow, that's almost what we make in our events. But the other side is they also get $700,000 from their city to put into seminars and programs and things like that they don't care if they make any money off of, that they can help their local small businesses with. And that's my point.
They're also the visitors bureau. You know, they have a secondary purpose.
They carve it out. Well, in Redondo anyway, yeah. They have two programs, and both those programs with separate accounts and run out of kind of the same area. But we don't have a CVB purposely because it's interesting. It is interesting because there is a large part of our community here that, and you guys have heard this ad nauseum where we talk about our small town appeal. We want to keep our small town appeal, you know, and you talk about small businesses being able to survive in those expensive areas like downtown, and even the North End now is getting expensive. You know, businesses are leaving, they can't afford the rents, things like that. You know, the people who own the buildings are starting to turn over And so whoever buys that building has to, they've got to sell that space at a rate that they can
market rents.
And so, in order to pay their mortgage. So, people coming, new businesses coming in or small mom and pop businesses just find it harder and harder to survive in those areas.
Let me ask you something about that, Mark. Because
Let me finish something first. So,
all right.
So people want that small town appeal, right? And this was my thought on this. So we don't have a CVB because it's interesting. We don't want to promote to the outside. Yet the outside already knows about us, but we don't want to promote to the outside because people say, no, we don't want more people here. But at the same time, having more people here and more tourists and coming in and shopping at our stores, that's what pays for the ball fields. That's what pays for re-turfing the Manhattan Village field.
Yep.
That's what pays for fixing our roads and infrastructure and all of those things. That's what pays for that. And so it's kind of, you're shooting yourself in the foot if you were ever successful and not allowing anybody to come into this town. So,
well, okay.
Fortunately, we're a global destination already because people come in. Our restaurants are talked about in the New York Times, and our businesses are interesting and fun. We've got a very our residences go right up to the water, so we have a very charming community. We don't have development along the beach like other places, and so it's we still have people who live here who don't remember it from the 1980s or even the 90s who've moved here in 2000 still think this is a very quaint small town feel that they love. So, may not be like it was, but it's still pretty good.
Well, you bring up a lot of good points and there are several conundrums here because that article that you mentioned that was in the Beach Reporter yesterday, one of the things that Redondo Beach, up until now, they've always considered themselves a vacation destination. They want to bring tourists in.
Right.
And
right.
The chamber had the dual role, business and then the visitors bureau. And
right.
what I found very interesting at the very end of that article was a quote by one of the council members that said something to the effect of the chamber isn't doing what's in the best interest of the residents. But the chambers initially are for business development. Right. It's not chambers don't exist for residents per se.
I know it's interesting. Here's what he said. This guy and I don't know him. But really at the root of it, they're just upset because Redondo took PAC money or gave the they created a PAC, they gave Chamber PAC money, SACAL.
Right.
It'd be like Gelson's coming and paying us a bunch
right.
of money here for that whole Gelson's issue that was going on with the city council. But he said, that shows me that the chamber is not looking after the best interests of the residents, but rather the business community. Well,
which is what a chamber
that's
is.
That's what the chamber is. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But to dovetail, okay, to his point, and this is why I go back to the community. To his point, one of the reasons I took over the chamber was because I wanted to bring it back to the community. I want it to be a part of the community in terms of we are at Earth Day. We are at Little League Opening Day. We are at the Hometown Fair. We are at all these places. And so we need to be thought of as a viable member of this community. But as a member of this community that is an advocate for small business. Because the backbone of a community is small business. I mean, you're going to have your Chevrons and your Skechers who once were a small business, by the way,
right.
grown. But they're globally recognized. They're corporate entities that are cash and inventory rich. It's the small businesses that you really need to help, and that's really what we're trying to do. And I think you have to be a part of the community. You have to think in terms of, to a certain extent, the residents, but man, that's what we are. We're a business advocate. We are an advocate for the mom and pops out there.
Okay.
And so I agree.
Right. So Manhattan.
I mean,
Beach
I agree with
has
you.
Decide, yeah. Well, Manhattan Beach has to decide whether or not they're a tourist destination. But now this is important because we know from the Urban Land Institute study that was done a couple of years ago that I believe the number was something like 75% of sales tax is generated by people from out of town.
Yep. Yeah.
So
we have this pond. We have this pond directly to the west of us.
Yeah.
That is an attraction. And we have this iconic pier is an attraction. We have fine dining, which is an attraction. You know, and you can't keep that. You can't keep that to yourself. People find, you know what? People find these places. If you walk down a street in downtown or you walk along the North End or walk inside Manhattan Village Mall, you will hear Italian, German, Asian, you know, all of these languages. They're all visiting.
Yeah, but,
they
but
heard
the
about
point
it.
Is, what the point that you made earlier is that sales tax, which again, 75% of it comes from people outside the 90277 zip code area code zip code.
Right.
You need that money for all sorts of infrastructure and keeping things running.
Right.
Who decides whether or not the city of Manhattan Beach is going to market itself as a destination? Who decides that? Is that the city council? Is that a vote of the people?
The city council can the city council can lead the city in that direction.
Okay.
But city council, remember, they're elected officials.
Right.
So if you are going against a large part of the population who are the ones who get out there and vote, you're not going to make a whole lot of noise about CVB versus chamber, but the city does do it. You know, we just don't have it on paper that there's a CVB or there's a, but the city, for instance, recently, and I'm looking at putting together a hospitality group as well, but they met with all the hotels in the area and said, what do you need? What can we do? What needs to happen to drive more business for you? And what's interesting, though, is our hotels are all 85 to 90% occupied.
Right.
We're already – I mean, that's a good place to be. If anything, we need more hotels. And, and then that's where, the city goes, okay, where can we build a hotel? They talk about over by the senior center. Remember when that was swirling around?
Right.
At the corner of Highland and Rosecrans, a boutique hotel was talked about there. There's all kinds of places where they're talking about – hotel space, and yet the moment they bring it up, that's when your organized 1% comes out and says
anti-development, slow growth, no growth,
NIMBY type of activism. So,
Again, we've been watching what Redondo's been going through.
Right.
And, what it seems to me, and I think it's pretty well known that it's more mature people that vote, the older residents. They're the ones that really get the vote out. Mm. The younger people, not so much.
We always used to say that's why CBS got all the ratings, household and 25-54, because young, when it was still out a diary, there's no 18-34 that's going to take the time to fill out a diary and mail it in. Now it's done more electronically. It's a little more honest in its evaluations, at least as honest as it can be. But back in the day when I started out in TV, you filled out a diary. You were a diary home, and you filled out a diary. Well, it's like voting. They don't have time to fill out that diary. It would just wouldn't get filled out. But people who are retired, a little more sedentary, they're gonna They're going to fill out that diary. That's going to be a part of their routine. They're going to, you know, so they're going to go vote. That is a part of their routine that they do every 4 years, every 2 years. So, you know, that's why they, you know, get, you know, that's why they get politicians really pay attention to that, to that group. That is a huge lobbying group.
Yes, it is. And it's interesting because I was at a city council meeting a couple of weeks ago for they were talking about sending in Redondo Beach. They were talking about sending Measure C to the Coastal Commission. And there was a young person that got up and spoke. You know, there was the comment section, and a young person got up and spoke, and he said basically, you know, people of my generation, we want this rejuvenated waterfront. We want a place to go. We want these things in our neighborhood. We don't want to have to go to Santa Monica or Huntington or someplace else. Unfortunately, they're just not getting the vote out. And so what it comes down to, you know, we live in this fabulous place that we were fortunate for so many years that we weren't well known. We really flew under the radar, and now that's not happening anymore because so many great things are here now. So the cities have to decide whether or not they want to be a tourist destination. And honest to God, Mark, I can actually see if something like that came up for a vote, I could see Manhattan Beach, Redondo Beach, possibly even Hermosa Beach saying, no, we don't want to be a destination.
Yeah.
We don't want visitors coming here, which I think is a little close-minded.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's a catch 22 because you're right. I mean, the dollars we get from that are the majority of the dollars that we are able to use in helping our infrastructure and making our city what it is, you know, fixing things, restriping the streets, things like that. I mean, all of those things. I mean, it can't all be bond money. It can't all be, volunteer money or fundraising and things like that, you know.
Oh, goodness knows. We have enough of that.
Yeah, so,
I mean, you know,
right, exactly.
People are fundraising, you know, exhausted at this point. I mean, everybody, every institution, you know, the schools, you know, all the great nonprofits. I mean, you know, it's fundraising fatigue. Okay. So listen, I just have to ask you this because, you know, in your prior life, career life, you know, you probably had like a staff of minions that handled everything for you. And I'm just curious,
right?
I'm just curious now, do people just like randomly stop by your house at all hours to talk about signage and parking and, you know,
not there. They come here.
Okay. All right.
They come here. That's wild. I mean, it's interesting. They email or things like that, but they come here. And it's actually nice when we get phone calls, too, at the chamber, not having to do with me, but to do with their people's perceptions of the chamber. They'll call and say, hey, there's some fraud, real estate fraud going on. I got this call yesterday, some real estate fraud going on in our neighborhood. How do I deal with that? You know, I have people coming in. We have people walking in from out of town looking for information on the city, maps, things like that, you know, what's going on. You know, so the chamber has a real function here, as even though it may not be pushing out in a CVB way, it is providing information as a resource once you are here. And so, you know, we promote, we've got an international badminton tournament coming up at the Badminton Club. We'll promote that. I envy those. The problem with helping out these small businesses is I wish city council and the city were listening to this show, because I would tell them, and I have told them, is that, you know, if we have to constantly fundraise and charge our small businesses to educate, that's just difficult. I mean, it's, you know, small businesses to constantly have to reach into their pocket and pay for these events. It just becomes, you know, they've got to decide, do I want to go to that lunch or do I want to go to that seminar? They've got to pick and choose. Whereas if we had sponsors or we had that kind of cushion every year that we could strictly put towards, educational seminars for our local businesses and our members, then you know, we could really do a service to these guys. And it's not like, and granted, I know the city has, we have all these pension woes coming up over the next 10 years, and we got to be prepared for that. But there is so much, just like at the federal level and the state level, there are so many places where you can shave this off or move this over here or put this off. And I mean, there's so many places where money can be spent.
You're sounding like that person again.
Oh,
you're sounding like that person again.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Okay. You mean Ross Perot? Are you talking about Ross Perot?
Oh God, we're aging ourselves now. God, I voted for him.
Yeah,
I voted for him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So, I was living in Texas then too. So, but it's not like we're asking like Redondo for $700,000. I mean, we're a much smaller community, but something to where we can start really offering a real service that these guys can actually participate in on a regular basis, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All right. Listen, I'm going to take a short station break. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jackie Balestra, and you're listening to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360. And our guests this morning are Mark Lips and Tamsin Green from the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. We're having an incredible conversation here, a lot of big issues we're talking about. Now, if you're listening live and would like to get in on the conversation with a question or a comment, you can give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And I'm on my own this morning, so if you do call in, you may be on hold just for a little bit because I'm handling everything myself. Now, Mark, I understand that you have a few new staff members that you want to introduce, one of whom is joining us this morning. Tell us a little bit about Tamsin Green.
Well, Tamsin, I had seen her in action because she worked with Michelle Brown, and I'd seen her at some events. And when this position became available, she, talked to me about it, and I thought, wow, there's no way I could get Tamsin here. And I mean, because she comes from a heavy hitter background, and Tamsin,
yeah.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
she comes from this really heavy hitter background, and she's just done so much, and she has some great stories too. If you ever get a chance to talk to her, you know, she's done work for the John Wayne family. She's been at major, like you said, Saatchi & Saatchi. So she just has a breadth of experience in corporate world, and being detailed in marketing nonprofits and all of that. And I just thought, wow, if I could get her. And I happened to catch her, at least, and I can let her speak for herself, but I think I happened to catch her at a time when she was willing to settle down a little bit here and be here in Manhattan Beach and be based here and not jumping on airplanes and running around the country and doing things for multiple, multiple spinning plates. You know, she focused on this one spinning plate, which is multiple spinning plates, and be right here in Manhattan Beach where she lives. So she's a part of the community and spend time with her daughter who is young and here. So, I got lucky.
You got lucky.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, hey, Tamsin, I want to say welcome to the bubble, but how long have you been here? How long have you lived in Manhattan Beach?
I've actually been in the South Bay for 25 years. So, yeah.
Oh, you have. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So not a newbie, but I love the area. I just feel like it's my Shangri-La. I just really am a huge fan of the South Bay and Manhattan Beach, and even walking out of the chamber door every morning and looking at that incredible view. I'm just so grateful to be part of this beautiful community. I mean, it just really is amazing here.
There's nothing better than bringing your children up here.
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
Yeah. Well, I have to ask, you have an unusual name. May I ask the origin of it?
Yeah, it's actually a medieval name from England. And it actually means twin. My father was an identical twin. And that's how I got it.
Interesting. You're from England.
I'm from England, yes. In the southwest part of England, the Cotswolds, which is about 2 hours outside London. And actually, the Palisades Peninsula kind of reminds me a little bit of where I grew up. So, yeah, it's... All right.
The Cotswolds.
The Cotswolds.
Beautiful, such a beautiful area. That is a gorgeous area.
Mm-hmm.
It's so green. You know?
Yeah.
We're not particularly, lush and green. Anyway, in the intro, I mentioned that you're very actively involved with several nonprofits. And as we mentioned, the South Bay is home to, many fantastic nonprofit organizations, and they're all doing incredible work. And have you had the opportunity to get involved with anything locally?
I actually was a Big Sister of Los Angeles for many years. And so had a little sister, and I helped with also been involved with American Martyrs Church. Helped with some of their local groups, et cetera. So, I'm always trying to support the community and, go to events that, are helping all these, people in need in our community. So, I've been involved for, this pretty much 20 years in nonprofits here.
Oh, okay. All right. I only asked that because we've never met, I mean, the South Bay is such a small area, and I work with pretty much every nonprofit in the South Bay, promoting their stuff and going to events and stuff. And I was just curious because we have never run into each other. So, but I'm sure we will now. So tell us what are you doing now at the Chamber?
So I'm director of marketing, and basically, supporting Mark's mission to, we want people to be more aware about the Chamber. We're all trying to bring our energies to the Chamber and really get the message out that this is, things are happening here. We love connecting people. We encourage people to stop by or call in. We have an amazing director of membership, Michelle Wynn, who just is one of the most friendly faces, at our chamber, and we are really just trying to help people promote their business and using every medium that we can.
Well, okay, that's a great segue. That's a great segue because I wanted to ask Mark. The vast majority of chambers around the country are still functioning with a 1950s or 60s mentality. You mentioned it. You think of your father's Buick, also known as the Old Boy Network. And Joe and I have talked a lot about the fact that the Manhattan Beach Chamber has been well ahead of the curve with regard to utilizing, all the new and various technologies that are now available. And this podcast, for instance, Joe and I began working with your chamber about 4 years ago. And since then, we've brought the Redondo Beach Chamber on board to produce their own show. And partnering with the chambers has been such a great working model for Joe and I. I mean, it's such a great working model. And Joe and I thought, hey, let's get all the local chambers on board. It's a win-win situation for everyone. But Mark, we were so surprised by the resistance of other chambers to try something new. I mean, even though we have a proven track record, we still got a lot of, literally doors slammed in our faces. What do you think of that?
Well, I think also a lot of these chambers they're in their rhythms. We actually need to find our rhythm here now that we, have taken over and we're coming out of the haze and the smoke is beginning to clear and we need to find our rhythms, but so they get into their routines, they get into their rhythms with their events, their seminars, their fundraising, their meetings, their junkets to Sacramento, and all of those things, that it's hard to insert something new in there. It's hard for them to get to think about something, because everybody is so on their heels in this position, because all of us are working with short staffs. Not meaning they're short, but I mean, except for Tamsin. Tamsin's the one taller in here. But working with a small, let's see, working with less staff than most companies.
A skeleton crew.
You know.
A skeleton crew.
There we go. And so when new stuff is brought in or new ideas are brought in, you know, all of a sudden they go, oh my gosh, now we're getting, you know, it's piling on and stuff like that. So that could be it. I don't know if that's it or not. I just know that a lot of these chambers, man, they're in a rhythm. They got their things going the way they're supposed to go. And they don't want anything to upset that. And it's hard to, where do we fit it in? Where do we put it? Who's going to manage it? You know, because everybody is so loaded up with stuff to do already. So that could be it too, because all these chambers are pretty tight, you know. That might be it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Back to Tamsin, you mentioned, you know, new ways to connect, to bring in sponsors. Tamsin, what do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're utilizing all of the mediums, you know, that we can. We're obviously got social media. In terms of networking, the chamber have started speed networking events, which are really amazing. I had experienced those. Outreach to the local press and local media. So that's some of the ways that, you know, we're supporting the mission of the chamber.
She has us doing LA Talk Radio on Monday morning. Is that why?
Well, we had you first.
So, yeah, I know. I know. You're our favorite. But, I don't think the chamber's ever been on LA Talk Radio. So that's pretty cool. The South Bay 360, I guess the only thing I could suggest is that you show them by maybe going to one of their events and broadcasting from their events and see if you can't get people to talk about it that they heard, you know, to those chamber execs that, oh, we heard South Bay 360 at your event and they were great and had people on. That was terrific. And get people talking about you. But it might mean that you have to go do some of their events to build up some noise.
Yeah. I'll tell you that the live podcast we did on FaceTime for the your event over at the Marriott, the South Bay Business Leaders Summit. Oh my goodness, that just blew up on social media. Thousands and thousands and thousands of watches. Really big. I mean, you know something? Everybody knows we're out there. You know, everybody knows.
Right.
Goodness, you know something? This hour is flying, and there are several that I want you to tell us about. Now, this weekend, the Manhattan Beach Business Improvement District is hosting the North Manhattan Beach Art Walk. It's taking place on Saturday, June 10th, from 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. Tell us about it. What can attendees
expect? Well, you know, we have for some time tried to get the North Manhattan area to sort of think of itself as an art district. I've met with the North End, North Manhattan BID group, and I've pitched them with ideas. I've walked up their street and taking pictures of blank walls and then Photoshopped murals on there and tried to get them to think of themselves in art district, because there's evidence out there. There's research that shows in some of these areas where you really want to beef up the awareness and create a destination, that when you bring art into it or you create this art component, it does that, especially in LA County. I mean, people will travel to find a mural. They'll travel to find these art walks. They'll travel, you know, things like that. And so this is kind of dipping their toe in the water. They're going to see how this plays out, if that brings a lot of people. So hopefully it will. There's like 46 artists involved, and they'll be all up and down the street of Highland there from 10 into 4. Yeah. So a Saturday. So, you know, hopefully people will have heard about it. They will visit, and we can move forward with maybe trying to create more of an identity of art up in the north side, north end.
You know, art walks, you know, have always been popular throughout the country. I mean, I've been to several. I've been to the one in Santa Fe, very famous one, San Francisco, Austin. You know,
right.
I've been to several art walks, but in my opinion, seriously, El Segundo turned the art walk concept on its head a couple of years ago when they started their art walk in the summer. And everybody saw how popular this was. I mean, it was huge. Matter of fact, their first one of the summer is next week. And now, did the North End Business Improvement District, did that have anything to do with it? Did they see that and say, hey,
No, I think the people, Jackie May, you know Jackie, and the Cultural Arts Center under Martin Betts has been very active. I mean, if you've been to the Cultural Arts Center here in Manhattan Beach, off of Manhattan Beach Boulevard over by Manhattan Heights, at Manhattan Heights, that's kind of a best-kept secret. But he has really brought it out of the shadows. And, I mean, he has John Van Hammersfeld has been there.
Yes.
Many other leading artists and done shows there. Cheech and Chong, Cheech
Tommy
Marin.
Chong
Cheech Marin.
Marin
did,
yeah.
No, not Tommy, but Cheech Marin did an art show there. You know, I mean, people, and they're beginning to find out. So he's really brought an awareness to the art scene here in Manhattan Beach. And Jackie's been a real proponent. She's on the Cultural Arts Commission. So she's really working to get that art noticed here and spread more out, not just a couple of galleries somewhere, but, you know, getting people to come and do shows here, really trying to find opportunities to showcase local talent. And so that's really what's driving it, too. And then the fact that the North Manhattan's trying to look for ways to set themselves up with their own identity, to be a destination, not just an afterthought to downtown or to the mall or things like that, you know, or just a place to go and have a drink, you know. They want to be thought of as being something a little more than that.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it's going to be great.
I'm talking with Dennis Jarvis. I'll mention it for the first time here on your show. Dennis Jarvis and I are talking about doing a surf festival, an international surf festival up in North Manhattan. So,
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
Just to bring people up to that side and do things for the businesses up there, you know.
That's my favorite beach in the South Bay, by the way, El Porto. I love the beach there. It's my favorite beach.
Yeah.
I love the way they don't have that. You know, it has those long waves, and I love that beach up there. Anyway, another thing I wanted to mention. Okay, so the Manhattan Beach Chamber sponsors the annual Bite at the Beach, which was supposed to take place in a couple of weeks, but just a few days ago, you pushed it back to August.
Yeah, I know, and the executive board's already called me and wants to talk to me this morning. So, you know, I'm going to catch some heat on that. But, you know, here's what happened. We ran into LA Beer Week and a couple other beer festivals, and we were really pinching our vendors. I mean, for instance, Strand Brewery, they once again, this boils down to having a small staff. You know, we got through the Business Leaders Summit. We were moving along, working on this. And we were just discovering that, like, Strand Brewery, we'll bring over a bunch of kegs, but we've got to go. We're finishing up at LA Beer Week, things like that.
Right.
You know? And,
right.
And we don't want these guys to be stressed. We want it to be 20, 25 restaurants, 20, 25 breweries, and we want them all there, the owners, so they can be passionate, talk about their craft beers and their wines. And we want, you know, so we want them to have that ability to interact with the people that are there. And so we said, you know, this isn't happening at the level that we want it to happen. And so
that's
I made the call.
I agree. I think that's a great idea.
We need to move it.
the beer weeks are out of control. It seems like there's a beer week, beer festivals all over the place now. And now that the South Bay is the epicenter of beer culture, and we have so many great ones. And yeah, no, I get that. I get that. But I just wanted to mention that because I had it up on my website, of course, and I think I mentioned it in the things to look forward to part of my weekend guide yesterday. So I know that people are buying tickets and stuff. So just mention that. So that date has been pushed back to August.
It on our Eventbrite and all of that. And we've reached out to all of our ticket holders who bought purchasing. Everybody's been very good about it. Everybody, oh, that's great. That's good. I even had one vendor actually too, not a ticket holder, but a vendor go, oh, thank you, Mark, because I was really pressured there. That was really going to be stressful because we were going to be coming off this other event and we're coming over to your event, and this really helps us out. So that's
all
kind
right.
of what
okay,
we're up
now,
against. So
a couple of quick things we're going to touch on. Your Young Entrepreneurs Academy is now signing up applicants, yes?
Right. YEAMB at ManhattanBeachChamber.net. YEAMB at ManhattanBeachChamber.net. If you email for an application for your son or daughter who is 6th grade through 12th grade, who might have who is an entrepreneur at heart, who has an idea or maybe doesn't have an idea but just wants to work on an idea, who loves business, who loves the idea of creating something, a business, this program is outstanding. It's 21 weeks of learning everything there is to know about starting your own business. And by the end of the 21 weeks, in fact, the back of the T-shirt says, from student to CEO. And at the end of the 21 weeks, they will have a DBA. They've got business cards. They are automatically in the Chamber of Commerce, get an annual a membership to the Chamber of Commerce, and they will have a business. And this has been successful. In other parts of the country, and I think it's perfect for Manhattan Beach. I mean, the entrepreneurial spirit is kind of what Manhattan Beach is all about, the South Bay is all about. You don't have to be from, by the way, you don't have to be from Manhattan Beach. We did it last year, and we didn't do it. I think we can do it a lot better than what we did last year. We're capping it at 24 kids. You have to apply, so you can go to our website, ManhattanBeachChamber.com, and you can get the application, or you can email that YEAMB at ManhattanBeachChamber.net, and they'll send you an application. I've got two ladies who are going to run the program, two local ladies here from the community. They're going to run it. We have an instructor, Rachel Thomas, who was just voted Teacher of the Year for the middle school. She's our instructor, and then we have guest speakers every week at class. We have 6 field trips that are part of that 21 weeks. And it's just fascinating. We're going to tap into the CEOs and all of that. We actually had, you may have seen in the Beach Reporter, Isabel Horry from last year. She had this great idea, and it's currently being patented. But she was chosen by the investor panel, which is our shark-type-like experience that happens toward the end of the program, where they get funded with whatever monies they just deem to give these kids for their program,
right.
For their business. She was chosen out of all of these kids to be the one to represent and go and compete at a national level in Rochester, New York, and she came in the top 8.
Wow.
Out of all these kids from around the country. And by the way, she's finishing up this year, will be 6th grade.
No, that is a great program. They are signing up for that now.
The sign-ups are now. Like I said, we're only taking 24. You have to apply. They'll meet you. They'll talk to you. You don't necessarily have to have an idea. A lot of people think, well, we got to come in with an idea. You don't have to have an idea. You can just show up and be inspired and come up with an idea. A lot of people come in with an existing idea or already an idea in mind that they would like to develop. Because a lot of these kids, you know, my kids, I wish it was around when my kids were there, because you hear your kids all the time. I mean, my kid said in a text the other day, I said, well, study hard because that's going to translate to dollars later on. And he goes, not if I invent something. So he's got something.
There you go.
He's, twirling around in his head that
there you go.
He's thinking of working on. So I said, well, okay, well, see, that would have been, if he has an idea, this would be the perfect vehicle to explore, to create the business plan, the marketing plan, and pitch the idea to, I mean, we had two kids. One created a concussion proof water polo cap, it helped against
mm-hmm.
concussions. And another created something for a snorkel that you put on a snorkel that prevented bruising or something. And anyway, they had given their pitch to the investor panel, and Russ Lesser, who was not a member of the investor panel, he was just in the audience, he came around, he came up to us, and he goes, I'll back both those guys.
Wow.
And so
wow.
hopefully you will see both their products patented and in Dive and Surf in the near future. So.
All right. Okay.
I mean,
all right. I need to mention one more thing, and then I want to get contact information from you. The Manhattan Beach Chamber is hosting a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Cookie Cutters, which is haircuts for kids, on Wednesday, June 14th, beginning at 4 p.m. And they're going to also be offering $10 off kid cuts all day long. All right, so that's next Wednesday, June 14th. You can call and make an appointment. And, okay, Mark, give us some contact information, website, phone, email, how people can get in touch with the chamber.
Well, the phone is 310-545-5313, 310-545-5313, and the website is ManhattanBeachChamber.com, ManhattanBeachChamber.com, and that has all of our events, that has ways to, if you want to sign up, if you want to get involved, if you want to volunteer. You know, just it has all of our contact info, and come on in. And you know what? And stop by and see us. There's usually somebody
yeah.
here, and we love it when people stop in. We love it when people stop in.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mark Lips, Tamsin Green, for joining me this morning. It's always an adventure to spend time with you, Mark. And Tamsin, welcome to the Lion's Den.
Thank you. And I hope to meet you soon.
Oh, yes, we will. We will. Okay, that's our show, everybody. Thank you for listening. And be sure to tune in next week. Have a fabulous South Bay weekend. Bye-bye now.
All right. Thanks, Jackie.